Good morning, everyone. This morning we are in Numbers chapter 30, and it's the law of vows. Let's just take it in, beginning with verse 1. Then Moses spoke to the heads of the tribes of the sons of Israel, saying, "This is the word which the Lord has commanded. If a man makes a vow to the Lord, or takes an oath to bind himself with a binding obligation, he shall not violate his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth." A man needs to be a man of his word. And if you say you're going to do something, you know, we need to do it. We should do it. We should follow through. And it's really important to be that kind of honorable, reliable person in life. And this is really covering two different bases. One, if you commit to do something for the Lord, make a vow to the Lord, do it. But also if you make a binding obligation to do something in relationship to others, we should do what we say we're going to do. Now, it's interesting because as we get into a woman, and it begins here first with a girl, I would say, although it says a woman, I guess I'm saying girl because she's still under her father's house in this particular verse. Let's pick it up. Also, if a woman makes a vow to the Lord and binds herself by an obligation in her father's house in her youth, see, and her father hears her vow and her obligation by which she has bound herself, and her father says nothing to her, then all her vows shall stand, and every obligation by which she has bound herself shall stand. But if her father should forbid her on the day he hears of it, none of her vows or her obligations by which she has bound herself shall stand, and the Lord will forgive her because her father has forbidden her. So a girl under the leadership of her father's house, if she makes a vow and the father knows of it and says, "All right, you want to make that vow, then you've made it," then she's to honor that vow. However, if he hears it and is like, "No, that you're not making a wise decision," he can say that vow, "I don't want you to honor that vow, to make that commitment." And the man of the home has the ability to make that decision for her. Now, if she should marry while under her vows, or now listen to what it says here, this is very important, or the rash statement of her lips, verse 6, by which she has bound herself, and her husband hears of it and says nothing to her on the day he hears it, then her vow shall stand, and her obligations by which she has bound herself shall stand. So even a rash vow, even something that she shouldn't have vowed, but she vowed, and her husband knows of it, and he doesn't stop it, then she's bound by her vow, even if it's a rash vow. And that is something that we have to be careful of. We got to be careful to make commitments that we shouldn't keep or shouldn't have made. And Jesus is going to touch base on this, and I'll talk about that in a moment. But if on the day her husband hears of it and he forbids her, then he shall annul her vow which she is under, and the rash statement of her lips by which she has bound herself, and the Lord will forgive her. So he's given wife, husband, and husband can, if he hears a vow that is not a good vow to make or a rash vow, he can annul her vow, and she will be forgiven and not have to honor that vow. And God has clearly given woman and man each other. He gave woman as a helper to man, and he's also given man to help lead woman. And that's just the way that God has set it up. Now, we're going to talk about that more in a moment, but I want to take you to what Jesus said about vows or oaths. He said, "Again, you have heard that the ancients were told, 'You shall not make false vows, but shall fulfill your vows to the Lord.' But I say to you, make no oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is the footstool of his feet, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you make an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white. But let your statement be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything beyond these is of evil." And Jesus appears to be responding to this passage in Numbers, or at least referring to it, and that, you know, people in his day, it appears, were like, "I swear on my mother's grave," or "I swear on heaven itself or on Jerusalem or, you know, or on my very head. I'm telling you the truth on my very head. Or I make this vow, you know, if not, it's like you could take my head off because I'm fully committed to what I'm saying. And people would make like rash statements like that and kind of instead of just saying, you know what, yes, I'll do that and then do it, honor what you said, or no, I won't do it. But that you don't need to add to your yeses and nos as far as what you're going to do and not do some kind of elaborate vow of commitment. Just be a man of God or a woman of God and let your yes be yes and your no be no. And, you know, even in Numbers 30 here, we see that some of the vows that are being made are rash, and that's not wise to make a rash vow. So be careful what you commit to, but then if you commit to it, you know, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Now, I want to go back to the woman thing here because she's obligated by her vow like the man. Started off in verse 1 that, you know, a man makes a vow, he's got to stick to it. The woman, same thing, unless her husband hears it or her father hears it and says, you know what, that's not a good vow and I'm going to annul the vow. But if he doesn't stop it, she makes a vow just like he does. But why did God allow man to kind of have this right to annul her vow? Now, would we say that all men and all women are alike? Like we're like, you know, you could classify women and say all women are this or all men are this. No, we can't say that. But there is a general rule of thumb that doesn't mean it's true for everyone. And that is echoed in the Bible. What I'm referring to is Adam and Eve. I mean, the Bible says that one man brought sin into the world and one man, you know, frees us or forgives us of our sin. The one man who brought sin into the world was Adam. And the one who frees us from that sin is Jesus. So the Bible accurately says, you know, ultimately it goes back to Adam. But if you go back to the story in Adam and Eve, the serpent deceived Eve. And then as a result, her husband then took of the fruit that he was not supposed to. Now, does that mean that Adam was innocent? Absolutely not. In fact, it appears that, you know, Adam, he may have did the sin that happens a lot today, is you have woman who was deceived and man who is passive. Man who knew better and should have stopped this situation, should have stopped Eve, or should have, when Eve came to him, said, no, this is not wise. God told us not to do this, or questioned it. And instead, he just was passive and went along with it. And that can be the problem that man has. And indeed, our original sin is attributed to Adam. But yet, it's clear that the Bible does say that Eve was deceived. And here we have a problem in man and woman. Now, is every man and every woman have this problem? No. But as a rule of thumb, the Bible does indicate that woman is more gullible or more easily deceived. Again, don't throw a stone at me, okay? Not every woman is, but in general, women are going to be more easily deceived. And one of the problems with man sometimes is not being the leader that man's supposed to be, and being passive. And not, now, are all men passive? No, but there are some who don't take the lead that they should. And God is trying to protect man and protect woman by giving them each other. And he's trying to give man to lead and to also protect woman in a variety of ways, be a protector, but also to protect her from being easily deceived. And we need to operate in the roles that we've been given. And this is what God did to help women to not, you know, make a mistake like this and give man a special kind of protection and authority in the family. And that's the way that God set it up. Now, how can I say this beyond just the story of Adam and Eve? Well, if you turn to 1 Timothy and you go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, and by the way, this is in regards to women teaching men, and you know, nowadays we have women being pastors of churches, which, by the way, there's no evidence of that in the Bible at all. There's no woman pastor in the Bible. There's no woman church pastor. There's women who teach other women, and there's women who teach and have gifts and can be very good. Does it mean that a woman can't even have an equal gift to man as far as being able to teach as good as man? Yeah, that could be. There's women that are better teachers than men, by no doubt. However, God didn't set it up that women would lead a church. And one of the reasons I think for that is because God wants males to take the role that God has given them as leaders. And as women lead everything, then the problem that Adam have in being passive just keeps getting pronounced. And women, do you want your men to be passive? Do you want your men just to step back and let women do everything? Or do you want a godly, strong man to be in leadership? And I think we should want that. I think God wants that. And men, we should be that. But when women are leading everything, then men continue to get more passive. So that's a problem. Now, does that mean that women can't lead or lead effectively? No. But in the church, males are supposed to be in the lead, and males are supposed to be the elders and not women. There's no evidence for that. Now, don't throw the stone. I'm just going by the word of God. I'm not going to apologize for it because I'm teaching you what God's word says. But anyways, let's just pick it up in verse 9 of 1 Timothy chapter 2, and it's going to get into this idea of making vows and why a man could say that he could annul a woman's vow. All right, verse 9 of 1 Timothy chapter 2. Likewise, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly garments, but rather by means of good works, as is proper for women making a claim to godliness. And there's nothing wrong with a woman looking nice, but in today's day and age, you know, that's getting way too far. And, you know, a woman should first be known for her godliness rather than, you know, all these other things that we're talking about here. And modesty is a good thing. And, you know, unfortunately, that's been violated so much today that the standard of the bar has been changed so much. But, you know, in the church that I lead, I think the women do a great job of being modest. Anyways, verse 11, a woman must quietly receive instruction with entire submissiveness, but I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man, but to remain quiet. Now, I believe that this isn't in instruction regarding the church and church leadership. It's not that a woman can't teach, and it's not that a woman can't have significant gifts, but women are not to be the lead teachers over men in a church and to exercise authority over men in the church in that way. That's just not the way it's to be in God's house. Now, why? We're going to get a reason for that in 1 Timothy chapter 2. For it was Adam who was first created, and then Eve. That's part of the reason why he's saying that. God was setting up male leadership. Now listen to verse 14. And it was not Adam who was deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. So the reason that Paul is stating here, inspired by God, that men are to be in the lead, and why a man, a husband, or a father could annul a woman's vow is because woman can be more easily deceived than man. Now, I've said it a number of times, and I'll say it again. Are all women like that? I would say not. I think there's probably some women that are very keen and smart. And I mean, they're all, you know, all of us can be smart, male or female, but are very, what's the word? Discerning and can tell truth over error. There's women that are, I'm sure, equally as good at that as men. But in general, as a rule of thumb, God is saying that he's put male leadership in place in the family, in regards to vows, in regards to the church, because a man is supposed to be a godly man and lead, and women at times can be more easily deceived. So that's what God's done. He's given us each other. He's given us each other. You know, it doesn't mean that man is more important than woman. In fact, you know, Adam was alone, right? And he wanted somebody else and he needed somebody else. And man, woman provides so much for the family. I mean, think of what a woman does for her children and for her husband. And, you know, a woman has such a massive role in life and in the family, and so does a husband. But we have complementary roles, right? We each have different roles to play. And sometimes in certain families, those are going to look a little bit different. But in the end, men, be a godly man. Protect your wife, protect your family, both physically, but also protect your family from poor decisions as best you can. And that's what God has given our role to do. And, you know, women, and, you know, I just think of my bride and my mom, just incredible women who are such a blessing to our family and to me. And, you know, I consult with my wife on lots of things. I mean, most everything. We work together. I consult. I value her opinion. I run things by her all the time. She's an honorable woman. And, you know, so just because God has given these different roles at times or leadership positions doesn't mean that, you know, a woman can't have extremely valuable input into the family. And praise God that he's given us them, because God knew we needed a great woman with us. And praise God when you have a good man and when you have a good woman and you work together for the glory of God. But this is the way that God has set it up. Men, protect your families, protect your wives. And these are the rules of vows. If you say you're going to do something, follow through and do it and honor God. God bless you all. Mm-hmm.